Good evening. So happy that you're here tonight. After receiving the law of God on Mount Sinai, Moses, the scripture says, took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And in response, they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." Exodus 24:7. At Moses' death, before the presence of all of the children of Israel, he commanded Joshua, just prior to his demise, he said to Joshua, "Assemble all the people together, and every 7 years, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read his law in front of all Israel in their hearing." Deuteronomy 31:11. Just as Moses had commanded upon entering the promised land and conquering the city of Ai, Joshua assembled the people just as Moses had instructed, and the scripture says in Joshua 8:34 and 35, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not one word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Later in biblical history, when Josiah becomes king of Judah and began to restore proper worship among God's people, the lost book of the law has been found in the house of the Lord, and the king gathers the people together, and 2 Kings 23:2 says, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. After the Babylonian exile, when the Jews returned to Jerusalem, to their native city, and began to rebuild the walls of that city, Ezra the priest stood at a wooden podium and opened the book of the law in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, the people stood up. Nehemiah 8:5. And then the Bible says that the people remained in their place, and he read from the book, from the law of God, explaining and giving the sense so that they understood the reading. Nehemiah 8 and verse 8. When the Jews were spread all over the known world and they began to worship in synagogues, they began a practice that had a rich tradition and had been established for a long time, as we've just seen. That practice was the public reading of God's Word. When Paul was on a missionary journey and came to Antioch of Pisidia, he found Jews assembled in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they were publicly reading the law and the prophets, Acts 13 and verse 15. During the life of Jesus, when he came to the city of Nazareth where he grew up, where his custom was, going to the synagogue where those Jews met, Luke records in Luke 4 and verse 16 that Jesus stood up to read from Isaiah the prophet. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when God's people assembled together as the church, in the first century, it remained a strong emphasis of the public reading of God's Word. Paul commanded the church at Colossae to publicly read aloud the letter he had written to them and the letter that had been written to the Laodiceans, Colossians 4 and verse 16. Likewise, he commanded the church at Thessalonica to publicly read aloud his letter to them as well, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27. And then when Paul gives instruction to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, he tells Timothy what his job description is as a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, "Preachers of the gospel have a duty to do three things: the public reading of Scripture, preaching, and teaching." And then in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 4, Paul says the gospel preacher should give himself wholly to those three things. Tonight, in that long-standing tradition, I thought it would be appropriate for us, as I have done on some occasion, to simply have a public reading of God's Word. Tonight, the reading is a parting promise that Jesus gives to some troubled disciples. We live in a day and time where if we're not careful, our hearts can become overwhelmed and troubled by what we see happening in the world around us. And just like those frightened disciples in the upper room that night, we need a word from the Lord. A word of a parting promise, some encouragement that He will not leave us alone, but that He will always be with us, and the Spirit of God will see us through. Tonight I'll be reading from John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. You may follow along if you like, or you may just immerse yourself in the hearing of the word. John chapter 13, verse 1 through chapter 15 and verse 17, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth, and now He loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and that He had come from God and would return to God. And so, He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, and poured water into a basin. And then He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had around Him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." So Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray Him. That is what He meant when He said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, He put His robe on again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sent the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I'm not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But this fulfills the scripture that says, 'The one who eats my food has turned against me.' I tell you this beforehand, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah. I tell you the truth, anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me, and anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me." Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and He exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom He could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table, and Simon Peter motioned to him and to ask, "Who's He talking about?" So the disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus responded, "It's the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, "Hurry and do what you're going to do." None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into His glory, and God will be glorified because of Him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, I will give His own glory. He will give His own glory to the Son, and He will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later." "But why can't I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I'm ready to die for you." Jesus answered, "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times, deny that you even know me." But don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, and you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does His work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk with you because the ruler of this world is approaching, and he has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let us be going." "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it'll be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord. And may his people be blessed in hearing and doing it. Tonight, the message of Jesus calls to you. If you've not obeyed the message of Jesus, we would encourage you to think seriously about giving your life for the one, to the one who gave his life first for you. If you need to talk more about what it means to surrender wholly to Jesus, we'd love to have that conversation with you. Or maybe you're ready to surrender your life wholly to Jesus in repentance and baptism and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit living in you. Maybe tonight you need to be baptized for that reason. If we can help you in any way, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.